Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. I'm Ken Edwards with the National Coalition of Labor. Sitting to my right, Ed Maher with the National Coalition of Labor. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Ken.
How's it going?
Great.
Good, good. Phil Davidson, Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council. How are you?
Very well. How are you doing?
I'm doing really, really good.
I haven't seen you in a while.
Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, I've been traveling. I went to New York, saw family, and then got stuck in there. It was a massive, massive snowstorm in New York for the first time in 100 years.
Is that code for a hangover?
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't hear about that snowstorm.
You didn't hear about
it? No, must have been on your radar only.
Yeah.
No, you woke up on New Year's Day and there was a snowstorm.
No, it was an actual storm. So how are you guys' New Year's? Good?
Yeah. Yeah.
Great.
I don't do anything.
No.
Right?
No. I mean, I made it to midnight.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I think I may have. I don't know. I watched TV.
Yeah, I was done by like 9:30.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Way to go, Phil. Yes.
It's going to happen whether you're awake or not, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good point. So this is, I guess this is our first show since the new year, yeah?
Second.
No.
Second show.
Your first show since
your
the new year.
Yes, this is your first.
Whatever, losing
yes.
track of time.
Yes.
Getting old. So we said that this is going to be Year of the Worker, and we also said that we're going to start to introduce something called Barely Legal. Wait, are we going to get sued for that?
Ooh, that's a good point. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, maybe we might have to change the name.
Well, it's not. Is that trademark?
Tentatively named. I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm not going to look it up on my phone, though. So, I don't know.
That's a good point. So, we're going to have, the Metropolitan Alliance of Police here. Later, and one of their lawyers, I think like their main lawyer, and they have this really, really interesting case that's going on that affects a whole bunch of stuff here in the state of Illinois, including an overlap regarding the Workers' Rights Amendment,
yeah.
which is, you know,
central to their argument.
Yeah, first time.
Wide ranging sort of implications.
Yeah, so I think that's pretty case. Cool. So we'll have them come in and talk about that. Just in like sort of brief news, right? Telluride. Did you hear about that? The ski and was it ski patrol guys? Not even the instructors, but the people that patrol the mountains and make sure that everybody's safe.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
They were not getting paid well. Obviously, it's got to be really hard to live in a place like Telluride.
Yeah, the median home price there is $4 million now.
How much does a ski patrol guy make?
$23.
Right.
An hour.
So where do they, what do they do? Do they pack 17 people in a house? Like,
I think they're couch surfing with tourists.
Yeah
they you think so? That. They,
you know, if those 80s movies about ski patrol are to be believed, I think it might be right. happening.
So yeah, they have to live down valley, like, you know, 2 hours away from the mountain. Yeah, it's
But they went on strike.
They went on strike.
Right? And then it jammed up the whole system. And by the way, you know, I talked about this on Workers Wednesday, that, you know, getting into those choke points helps the strike.
Yep.
Leverage.
That's exactly right, leverage.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll talk about that in the next segment for a second. But, you know, they figured that out very quickly. You know, let's put it this way. I'm not skiing on a giant mountain if there's no ski patrol folks around to pick me up when I break my leg or smash
and
my
where
head.
And where do you find them? You have to bring them in from Austria? Like, there's just not a lot of expert ski patrollers out there, especially in a resort as remote as Telluride is.
Well, yeah. Where is Telluride?
Southwestern Colorado.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's not easy to get to.
So apparently, so everything gets shut down, right? And, you know, they're crying. The stores are crying, right? The mom and pop shops are crying. The hotels are crying. The restaurants are crying. And so these ski patrol, you know, folks have leverage.
Correct.
And so then, you know, fast forward, and it didn't go on that long, a week or two or three.
It was about,
like that.
13. Actually, I think it was the longest strike ever. It was 13 days.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So what does Telluride do? They're like, you know what? We're going to open up one lift because we found some ski patrol scabs.
Yeah.
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 I think they did something similar in Vail or Park City. I think it was last year.
Yeah. They opened up like literally like the kids' tow rope lines. Like,
and it had a line. It had a line of 1,000 people.
But where do you find ski patrol scabs?
Good question.
And by the way, like, isn't that sort of antithesis to being like a ski dude, right? It's like, hey, I'm one with nature. I want to help
people. There's a code. Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it just seems like it'd be like a surfer scab or something.
I think it's the people who got rejected from ICE.
Probably.
they're ski patrol scabs. Yeah.
You think so?
You ski with one hand and you hold your firearm with the other one.
I mean, if you're only patrolling like the kids area, I guess you don't really need a ton of experience. Yeah. But once you want to get to the rest of the mountain, yeah.
So but once again, though, let me ask you this. And Phil, you ski.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Would you want to ski with a ski patrol scab that you have no idea if he knows what he's doing, doesn't, maybe just puts on the vest and he's like, you know, bunnies sloping down the, what do they call that?
The bunny hill.
The snow plow.
Yeah.
Where they snow down the bunny.
The pizza slice.
Here I come. I'm on my way. I'll be there in a half hour.
No, that would be concerning. That would be a concern. Right? Especially in areas like that where there's avalanches. No, you want people who know what they're doing. Yes.
You know, it's a good point. Make fun, right? But you're right, right? There's weather. There's, you know, avalanches. There's people that legitimately get hurt.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you want somebody that's professional. So anyway, they ended their strike, right? They ended up getting a deal.
They got a deal.
How was the deal?
Not as good as they had hoped for,
yeah.
The patrollers.
Is that right?
I think the town pressure got to them. But they got more than they originally got in their first contract and, to be continued.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can they afford to live in the $4 million house?
Absolutely yet? Not.
Probably not. Yes. They still might have to do 17 to a room, but they'll get there eventually. And yeah, the town is really banning against the owner of Telluride. He's a California real estate magnate who I guess is an absentee owner, and he's really making life difficult for people around there.
Yeah. Wouldn't there be, though, I mean, you would almost think that, you know, something along those lines would have, I don't know, like, let's call it OSHA for a second, even though I'm not sure that exists anymore. But wouldn't it be like if you're engaged in something like, you know, a sport or an activity like that, that there needs to be a certain amount of, you know, ambulances ready, ski patrol guys ready, you know, mechanics to fix the, you know, whatever. It just seems like so unregulated to me and so kind of like wild.
Well, you sign your life away when you go to a resort, though. Yeah, there's so many waiver releases you have to sign.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
I've never been to one.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel like if there are just, you know, motionless bodies strewn across the mountain, people will ultimately stop going there. And there's enough sort of resorts in the area that people will go somewhere else, so it's incumbent upon a good owner to do the right thing. I mean, the last time I went to Wilmot, I probably saw 6 people getting taken off the mountain or hill on a little sled, so make no bones about it. Skiing's dangerous. People get hurt, so,
Sonny Bono.
For sure. Nice. I mean, skiing. Michael Schumacher, yep. Liam Neeson's wife.
That's right.
It happens all the time. So operating without an adequate ski patrol is a terrible, terrible idea.
Yeah, it has to be for disaster.
I think they were chanting, like, I think the skiers, the people that were actually trying to ski, were chanting, like, pay your workers.
Yep.
Right? I mean, everybody was sort of on the side of the ski patrol folks.
Yes, other than the business owners, yes, right. They were not so happy about it. Yeah,
They just wanted the strike over so they could their bars would fill up again.
Sell more lattes.
Yeah. That's all right. So, anyway, big news about the National Labor Relations Board.
Huge.
Yeah.
I mean, this is kind of everything we've been discussing for the last
3 years.
Yeah,
no
question
about it. So it has come home to roost, and I don't think it's going to be good for labor.
Well, let's look at who we've got. We have James Murphy. He was the counsel to a former Republican nominee and member to the board. You have Scott Mayer, who was the general counsel of Boeing.
The guy that they said no thank you until Boeing got a deal, and it was like, all right, come on in.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was also involved in the starting of a second headquarters for Boeing to avoid the
nice.
Union.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Great.
And then Crystal Carey is the new general counsel,
right.
Also sworn in, and she's an employment side lawyer who has made a career of helping companies get around labor law.
And they officially have their quorum now.
Yes. So now they have quorum.
They can work.
And so this case of the Gwynne Wilcox,
yes,
that Trump fired, you know, went to court, and they said that, you know, you can't fire. They went out to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court issued a stay and said, you can fire her, but go back down to the court and actually, you know, litigate it. So there's still two empty spots on it, but she's not there.
Right.
And so the Supreme Court, of course, we all know how that's going lately,
yes,
sided with Trump. And so, in effect, it's basically four Trump people?
There's one Democrat on there.
One Dem.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why didn't they get rid of the Dem?
I'm sure they're going to try.
But now, all right, so listen, how about this? We'll take a quick break,
yeah,
right? And then we're going to come back, and I want to talk about, like, immediately some stuff that's going on with the National Labor Relations Board,
yep,
as it affects, you know, some of the state legislation.
Mm-hmm.
And then talk about a couple of other things that are going on in labor land. And then we'll come back and talk to the guys from MAP. Pretty psyched about that. They're cool dudes. All right, we'll be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. Ken, Ed, Bill. So, we're talking about the NLRB, right?
Yes.
And now they got a quorum.
Yes.
And be careful what you ask for, because they have a quorum.
Yeah.
So now they're going to look at all these cases about the constitutionality of it, then? Is that now, if there's a quorum, will the court look at it?
I think those were federal courts. The NLRB had an opportunity to defend itself in that case, and it waived that.
Oh, they waived it, right. But don't you need a functioning NLRB for those cases to even move forward, because standing?
The cases that are on hold are now, they're cranking through them.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
They're going to go, yes, 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 no, 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 yes, 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 no, no, whatever it is, and they're going to try and crank through as many as possible until they get to the case that's bad for companies.
Yes.
And then they're going to go, oh, CMEX, you mean the one we had a bargain with the union? Yeah, that's overturned.
Mm-hmm.
Card check? Yeah, that's overturned.
Captive audience meetings?
Yeah, those are completely legal.
Yes.
I mean, here, mark our words, that's coming down the pike.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And so what does that mean for, you know, what happened in California and New York, and I think maybe Illinois was thinking about it, and some other states where they were backfilling,
yes,
the NLRB because it was empty.
Wasn't doing its job.
And they passed some laws that said, okay, we're just going to take over the responsibilities of the National Labor Relations Board. And the California law just got struck down,
mm-hmm,
right? Which is shocking. It's not, which I guess means the New York law will also get shot down. But if the preemption, right, gets shot down, meaning, courts should defer to, it's called Chevron, defer to agencies such as the NLRB.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right?
The experts. But,
okay, so if that gets shot down, then what? Doesn't that neuter the NLRB and then put it once again back to the states?
Mm, yeah.
So, and now we got we have the Workers' Rights Amendment here, which we're going to talk about with the guys from MAP when they come in. But, you know, let's see what happens in that regard, right? So
yeah.
we got to watch it.
And we're going to bring in some experts, not to say that you're not.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Okay, you said it.
we're going to bring in some smart lawyers.
Okay.
One of the things that we talked about a couple of, I want to say maybe a month ago, we ran through some of the things that were being discussed, and one of them that I think is going to be about the first thing done is, in labor land, you can either win an election or you can get voluntary recognition, right? Where an employer is like, we don't have a problem with this. We've seen a majority of cards from the members or from the employees who want this. We're just going to let this happen.
Yeah.
Now, the board, the conservative members of the board want to do away with that.
Yes.
And they will refuse to certify any election or any unionization that hasn't been done by an election. I think they're saying in which at least 2/3 of the employees have voted. So they're going to set a new threshold.
No more voluntary recognition?
It sounds like that's one of the first things they're after.
Wow.
That's, if we're doing like a pool on terrible things the new functioning NLRB is going to do,
you know,
my money's on that one.
I think you're probably right.
What's that?
We should get like Super Bowl squares, and in each square, just put on something terrible that the NLRB is going to take away from labor.
Everybody's going to need money to survive.
Yes,
so.
Yes. There'll be a lot of winners, though, in that pool.
I feel foolish for complaining about a non-functional NLRB.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
We're going to be pining for those days.
So in that regard, Ed, right, if you are an employer and you're supposed to, you know, corporations under Citizens United have free speech rights, right? Mm-hmm. Corporations are people, and you say, hey, I own Ken's Coffee Shop, I have three employees, and I want to recognize them. I want them to be in a union. Mm-hmm. You're now going to have big government tell me that I can't recognize these employees as a collective bargaining
Won't be recognized.
Well, don't you have...
But aren't I Citizens United First Amendment free speech rights?
Yeah, exactly.
So how does the two coincide?
Good question.
That's one of those things where it's like, oh, you mean those... No, no. See, the laws are good when we want the companies to give us money.
Yes.
Right? Companies can spend money on politics. But when it comes to companies being able to do what they want when it comes to helping workers, no. The answer is no.
Do that. As I say, not as I do.
Well, free speech has been expanded in almost every direction except where it applies to labor.
To workers. Yeah. Right.
I know where action would help us.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, it's funny. So we're talking about this because this kind of pivots into what I was talking with John Hansen about on Worker Wednesday. And I don't know if you've heard me say that I did Worker Wednesday. I'm saying it a lot because I never do it. So I just want everybody to know that I finally did it.
Good plug.
It was awesome.
Thank you so much. And so I said, look, it's 2026, right? New year. Mm-hmm. Year of the worker. But it's got to be not just year of the worker, but it's got to be year of the aggressive worker.
I like
it. Because there's so much pure aggression going on in the country right now, right?
Yeah.
ICE, National Guard.
Employers against employees.
Well, that's always been going on. But, I mean, it's gotten really out of hand.
Yeah.
You know, us just, you know, walking into Venezuela and going, okay, you know, you're not the president anymore.
Mm-hmm. This right? is ours now.
Because of the drugs. I mean, oil. I mean, drugs.
Yeah. You know?
Both. All the above.
Yeah, whatever. But it's
Don
just
Rowe
like,
doctrine.
Like Don, I know, right? That's crazy. Everything is just seems to be so, like, on steroids right now that if we don't keep up, if labor doesn't keep up, if workers don't keep up, then we are just going to get decimated. And I said, you know, what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. You have to hit them in their wallet. The only way that labor is going to get what it wants, they're not getting it through politics.
Right.
Right? They got to get the, like, some choke points.
Yeah.
And I'm going to use an example. It's Starbucks, right? And you know, we talk about Starbucks pro what they're doing, but, you know, at the end of the day, they haven't moved the needle at all, unfortunately. I read an article, Starbucks, like, yeah, that's whatever, we don't care. It's not hurting us economically, it's not hurting our stock.
Small percentage of our stores.
Yeah, people still shopping at Starbucks. It really has not done anything. But there are 35 Starbucks distribution centers around the country. Mm-hmm. 35, okay? That's not a lot.
Mm-mm.
And they're starting to picket some of these things, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, picketers are getting arrested. They're sending out the police force, et cetera. But God bless the Teamsters, they're not crossing the picket line.
Yeah.
Why not Starbucks workers, United, you know, whatever the union is, go after all 35 at the same time?
That's a choke point.
Right? That hurts him in the wallet.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about leverage.
Yeah.
These people understand one language, and that's pressure, and that's money.
That's right. And so unless you can shut off their money supply, or at least hurt them economically, you're going to be hard-pressed to get what you want.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, look, in construction, right, we've all figured this out, I think, quite some time ago, which is, you know, we have construction, but then we have everything that's tangential to construction, equipment rental shops and material producers that, you know, produce the concrete and, you know, the asphalt and, you know, the ones that fix the equipment. We organize everything around the construction. So if, God forbid, we had a fight on a construction site, there's no material coming in there, right? There's no equipment getting fixed,
repaired or, yeah. Right?
Got all your bases covered.
That's the choke point.
Mm-hmm.
And so, knock on wood, it's worked. So, hey, labor, take a page from our book and figure out the choke points and go after the money, go after the wallet, and hurt them economically.
In the wise words of Steve Sisko, they don't give us all this money because they like us.
That's right. That's Amen. Exactly right. So I think, like, you know, over the course of the next couple of months, you know, I want to talk about how unions, how workers, not even just unions, right, worker centers, workers, et cetera, can be more militant. And I'm not talking about, you know,
violence anything, anything like that.
John Hansen said, you know, you talk about a general strike. Like, yeah, would I love one? Sure. Am I talking about that? No.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Taking it to the streets.
Yeah, there you go, Phil.
You just got to play the game by the rules that everyone else is playing the game these days.
I think that's right. Yep. I think that's how you got to adapt, correct? Yeah. Department of War.
Let's go, baby.
Play the war.
All right, listen, take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with Keith George, the president of MAP, along with his attorney, Mark McQuarrie, and talk about this really cool case that they have going on right now in Arlington Heights. Those are police folks. We'll be right back with more of The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Workers' Mic. More show to come, sponsored by Hinge Health. Hinge Health specializes in personalized digital exercise therapy designed for hardworking people, just like you. It's pain relief without waiting rooms and costly medications. Visit hingehealth.com today. Now, back to the show.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. So, top of the hour. We're stoked to have with us, as we were saying, the Metropolitan Alliance of Police. We have President Keith George, welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming in on a Sunday morning. And we have Mark McQuarrie. Am I saying that right?
That's correct.
And you're the lawyer.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Like, what's your real title? Director of...
Director of Legal and Legislative Affairs.
That sounds fancy.
It's very official.
Makes me minimally competent.
Barely legal, as we say.
Absolutely.
Hey. So here, real quick, let's talk background of... what is affectionately known in Chicago as MAP, right?
Yes, Chicago. Go ahead.
So how many members are in MAP?
We have a little over 5,000.
Okay, and all law enforcement?
No, so about 20% of our group are related public employees. Oh. We represent public employees, so we have clerks and telecommunicators, gotcha. That kind of stuff.
But like all in the auspices of surrounding law enforcement?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, okay. And how many different bargaining units... are those 5,000?
We probably have a couple hundred of those.
Okay.
Right.
All around Illinois, or is it the top portion? Like, where do you guys live?
Yeah, we're pretty much right around Chicago area. We're in the, northeast Illinois, so we go from as far up as, like, Waukegan. We go out down to Dwight. We go down to South Holland, that kind of stuff.
Got it. Okay. And then, what's your background?
So my background is I was a Bolingbrook police officer for 31 years.
Whoa.
And so MAP actually emanated out of the Bolingbrook Police Association. Uh-huh. So that about 1983, about 1985 I joined. So I've been with them, in some capacity since 1985.
And then how long have you been president?
About 9 years.
Okay. Did you have to run for that?
It's within the organization, but yes.
Okay. And do you retire as a Bolingbrook police officer?
I retired as a commander. So
wow. Yeah. Okay. So, how does law enforcement feel when either the National Guard or ICE is coming in here? Like, what's the dynamic between local law enforcement and now these federal agencies that are coming to town?
Yeah, so from a law enforcement perspective, I think we have different tasks. We have different goals. We have different visions of what we're supposed to do. The federal government, with respect to immigration, they're going to do their thing.
Right.
Local law enforcement is really about building and fostering relationships with the community,
yeah.
Right? If we have a shooting, if we have a stabbing, we need community members to come forward. We need to build relationships and bonds with the community so we have witnesses, we have people coming forward, we're solving crimes, we're meeting their needs, we're engaged in community caretaking, we're helping people in need. It's not just law enforcement. And so from my perspective, and I can only speak from mine, I've been in law enforcement for 26 years, the immigration issue is really hurting the relationship between local law enforcement and the public.
Yeah, so
because the public's scared.
Yeah, you're not the first person to say that.
Makes sense.
And so when they leave, because eventually, by the way, they're going to leave.
Correct.
Then you have to clean up the mess and sort of resuscitate the relationship with the community?
Absolutely. It's like anything else. When we talk about community policing, I kind of laugh to myself because it's the day of when the police officer used to walk the beat.
Right.
And they knew every shop owner. Sure. And they knew every business owner.
Yeah.
And they knew every person that were on their way to a job.
Uh-huh.
And they just built that relationship. We've brought that back. We've termed it community policing. It's really been going on for hundreds of years.
Right.
And so we need to keep doing that to keep those relationships solid. But I think we're going to have some work on the back end after we see ICE.
I think you are, too.
Yeah.
Well said. All right. So let's talk now. You're an attorney for the local, right?
I am.
Okay. Keith, you guys decided to take a case that, and quite frankly, this is why we invited you, not just because we want to see your lovely face, but to hear about this case, which we love when somebody pushes the envelope. And so you decided to take what's called a supervisory case, right?
Yes.
Give me like 2 seconds of background. Where is the case? It's Arlington, right?
Right. It's Arlington Heights.
Okay.
So,
go ahead.
Earlier this year, the legislature passed Senate Bill 1701, which allows supervisors now under the Illinois Labor Relations Act to organize.
Okay.
And so that's really in lockstep with the Workers' Rights Amendment, which passed. It's a constitutional amendment that passed a couple of years ago. So,
Yes. We remember it well.
That was the birth of this radio show.
Right. That's literally why we got on the radio.
Prior to this law, supervisors could not organize?
They could only organize if it was voluntary.
So got it.
If management agreed, then that's fine. And
got
that
it.
Does happen.
Yeah.
So we have, like where Mark works, he's a lieutenant for a police department, they recognize
okay.
him. So,
but if it's a true supervisor, so you know, in labor land here in
right.
Illinois, there's an actual test, right? Can you hire? Can you fire? Can you lay off? Can you adjust grievances? Blah 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 blah. And then do you spend a preponderance of your time doing that? I mean, there's all these machinations, but in every single case, especially that I had, we would go like, okay, we want the public works guys, but we also want the foreman. Oh, you can't have the foreman; they're supervisors.
Yeah.
And it used to be back in the day that you had to resolve the supervisory issue before you could get the underlying group, right?
Mm-hmm.
That got flip-flopped.
Okay.
So now you get the underlying group, and then you slug out the supervisory issue separately, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Right.
All right, so the bill passes, and now you're allowed to organize supervisors. What's the definition of a supervisor in police land?
So it was interesting. When 1701 was passed, so in the Labor Act, there is no preponderance test for supervisors with respect to police agencies.
Got it.
When 1701 gets passed, it says if you take a written test, you are no longer a supervisor under the act and you can unionize.
Okay.
So that becomes effective July 1st of this year. It was already signed into the law passed by the legislature and signed by the governor.
Okay. July 1st of 26.
That's correct.
Okay. So it's not in effect yet.
Correct.
All right. And so what happened in Arlington Heights? You petitioned. Did you already represent the guys?
So we have the patrol officers, and
okay.
the sergeants have for years wanted to organize, and they were unable to. Well, with 1701, became evident we could do that. So even though it's down not till July 1st, so we filed a petition with them, and the village rejected that. But not only did they reject it, they went a couple steps further, and they passed an ordinance, which pretty egregious, actually, where they said they were going to change the whole system of how somebody gets promoted.
So, just to get out from under.
Well, it certainly seems like they're looking to stymie our efforts or whatever by changing their ordinance that said they will no longer test. And one of the tenets of 1701, the bill, is that you have to test for that position.
So, got it.
Lo and behold, let's not test, and therefore we can appoint, and therefore that eliminates
it. So, what's your backstop?
Uh-huh.
So, the backstop here is the Workers' Rights Amendment does
right.
a couple things.
All right.
Okay.
There
I think it's
go.
Very important. And to my knowledge, it has not been used in any type of litigation.
To my knowledge, it has not been tested.
Not been tested. So this will be the first one. But I think two important components of the Workers' Rights Amendment. Number one, it makes the right to organize and collectively bargain a fundamental right.
Absolutely.
That word fundamental
yeah.
is key because it triggers strict scrutiny.
Yep.
The employer or the government has to show a compelling reason why they're right and you're wrong.
Sure.
It could require the using means that are like narrowly tailored or least restrictive. So I think it's important. It's a fundamental right, number one. Number two, it also says that you shall not pass any laws, ordinances that impedes or affects an employee's ability to organize.
It's awesome.
So now when we overlay this on top of what Arlington Heights has done, mm-hmm. where basically they have admitted in documents, we know 1701 is going to be the law in the state of Illinois.
Right.
As such, we need to eliminate the written test because we don't want to allow sergeants to organize and join a union.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
What, besides just not wanting their sergeants to organize, like, why does Arlington Heights care? Like, Keith, what's their dog in this fight?
It's a great question because there are several groups, sergeant supervisor groups in Illinois that we represent that are organized.
Just look at the Chicago cops right here. Their PBPA, oh, I think, PBPA, right? Yeah, yeah. All the sergeants are, the lieutenants are organized.
Captains are organized.
Absolutely.
Right. So what do they care?
I think it's a control issue. I think it's it's an unknown thing for them, and it's a control issue. And mayors and chiefs and those kind of small-minded communities don't want to give up that control. And the reality is all it does is level the playing field. It locks in the benefits for those guys. And
I like that you just called the future home of the Bears small-minded. That was awesome. So how many sergeants are there?
I believe there's around 20 sergeants.
Okay. All right. And did you have to go get cards signed?
We did.
Okay. And how many people signed cards?
I think all of them.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. So everybody wants to be in the union. Right?
Sure.
They have a great legal argument to be in the union, both with the Senate Bill 1701 and the Workers' Rights Amendment, right? And you want to represent them, and now Arlington Heights is going to say, or has already said, I guess, no, and we're going to spend not their money, their taxpayers' money.
Correct.
Right? So when you're spending other people's money, it's like, woohoo, I'm just going to what do I care? I'm spending money. So they hired lawyers. I'm sure they hired outside lawyers, correct?
That's correct. They did.
You know what the great thing about this is, too, in the state of Illinois?
It's all subject to FOIA.
If you read my mind. See, you know what? That's a John Marshall guy right there.
Smart,
right? He's right on it.
Top of his class.
I used to take those legal bills, and I would plaster them all over the place. I'm like, I was asking for 30 grand. You already spent 100. Like, you know, how's that good fiscal responsibility?
Correct.
Right? So, I hope that you guys use that. So what's next steps? Where's the case right now?
So the case has a pending status date. We filed the complaint. Arlington Heights has been served.
Okay.
So for those listeners that don't know how a lawsuit works, we file a complaint in the circuit court. We make allegations.
Yep.
And now the defendant, in this case, the Village of Arlington Heights, will be able to answer that complaint. So they'll have to answer each allegation, whether either admit it, they deny it, or they claim that they have...
It has not been answered yet.
Correct. They lack sufficient information to respond.
Which is the old, I don't know.
Yeah.
Right. So this will just be continued?
Correct. Yeah. As I tell everybody, litigation is long and expensive.
Yes.
Unless, let me ask you this, Keith. Are you going to use some other means? Are you going to try and put public pressure on them? Go to board meetings, blast this out there? Because I got to figure that the community, Arlington Heights is not all blue collar, but it's not all white collar. It's got a good mix, right? I got to figure.
Pretty affluent,
But they're pro police.
Everywhere's pro police.
And if you guys want to organize, don't you think that the community would be on their side?
You would think, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't get traction with the media. It all depends.
Well, you got it here.
Yeah, right? We had hired a media company, and they did blast that out. It's been pretty well publicized, obviously. Good. How you guys found out about it?
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, we're going to spend the necessary funds to do that, and I think that because this case, a lot of things hinge on this case. There's several sergeants groups that are in the pipeline that want to organize. So mm-hmm. this will be a case where it'll be a case that everybody looks at and decides.
Look, I gotta tell you, I've obviously been watching what you're doing. Kudos to you for taking the case. I also think it's going to have ramifications, not just in the public sector with police work, but in the regular private sector as well, because you laid on the Workers' Rights Amendment, which is constitutional, which applies to everybody.
Correct.
Yeah. So everybody in the state of Illinois has a dog in this fight. If people want more information about MAP, where can they go? What's your website?
www.mapunion.org.
Mapunion.org.
Right, correct.
And what about a phone number?
630-759-4925.
Okay. Anything you want to close with?
No, I just think it's all we're asking for is to be able to negotiate wages, hours, terms and conditions of employment and safety for our members and for our future members.
You're not asking for the mayor of Arlington Heights firstborn.
No.
Right?
There's a great poster, and I'm sure you've seen it as being a longtime union person, where it's a scale, and unions put management and workers on the same level.
Right.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
Right. Yeah, I know. Listen, I'm psyched that you guys are doing this.
Yeah, we need a follow-up. This is a fascinating case.
No question about it. Yeah, so you'll come follow up with us?
Absolutely.
Yeah, listen, thank you guys so much for taking the time to come down here on a Sunday. We really appreciate it. We appreciate all the hard work that you guys do and that your members do, right? You know, you guys are out there fighting the good fight.
Well, thank you, and thanks for the opportunity to be here.
Absolutely. All right, listen, we will be back with more of The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. Hey, real quick, forgot to say, we are still in open enrollment
right
now for life insurance. And short-term disability, accident insurance, all that kind of stuff. So quickest, easiest way, go to our website, coalitionoflabor.org, and you can literally click right through there. There's a giant pop-up. You can't miss it. It ends January 31. I think our members at this point so far. And Carpenter's always in
the... Come on, I was going to ask that next question. How are we doing?
You're always at the top.
Okay.
Have bought, on the life side, $500 million worth of coverage.
Wow.
That's crazy, right?
It makes a big difference when your family needs it.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. So anyway.
How many members in the coalition? What are you up to these days?
We're like 325 now.
Wow. Yeah, I think so, with some of the groups that have joined in the last month or two.
And things are... And we'll have some updates on that too, Phil, because we're talking some massive, massive
numbers.
That's
almost the population of Wyoming, I think. Getting there. You're getting there. That's the goal. Just beat Wyoming's population.
I like it. Yes, it's getting really, really big, and knock on wood, things are going pretty well.
It's the population of Iceland.
Oh, how about Greenland?
Yeah. Oh, Greenland.
Population's about to get a little bigger.
I'm glad that we can laugh about taking over another country.
Yes.
All right, so listen. We talked a few weeks ago about the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. It is one of the longest-running newspapers in the country.
Yeah.
Been around for 100-plus years. And apparently, who knew? Over the last 20 years, they've lost $300 million. I don't know how to stay in business losing $300 million. I just don't get it.
That's the number? $300 million?
It was something crazy.
Wow.
Right? And they're hemorrhaging money. I just don't see how that ever turns around, especially in today's climate with the internet and people getting the news from other sources.
Well, they had stopped publishing, I want to say, during the strike.
So they had a strike.
Yeah.
Yep. And the strike was 3 years.
Yeah.
And the labor board... reinstated the striking workers and then gave them their contract back from 20 to 14 to 17 and said, here you go. And everybody's like, yeah, all right, let's go. We're going back to work. And then we just heard yesterday that the newspaper said, 200 years of business, whatever, we're done. And they're closing their doors. And they're blaming it on labor costs, amongst other things.
Yeah, I mean, I think they had stopped publishing a newspaper during the course of the strike, if I'm not mistaken. So coming,
and the strikers were publishing their own paper.
Okay,
which is kind of normal in a newspaper strike. The strikers end up publishing their own paper, makes a little bit of money, and continues their job, which is to report the news. But that was disappointing to see. I was shocked that they didn't sell it to private equity and squeeze it, but they're just like, we're shutting down. And
something will rise from the ashes,
but
an online paper
but
or something.
Phil, it's
it's sad. It's tragic.
There's not a lot of newspapers left anymore.
I know,
right? And
in a big city, one of the longest running. Yeah,
yeah. Things are moving quickly right now. But in the good news department, Phil.
In the very, very good news department,
let's see it.
The Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council is expanding.
What?
Yes.
No way.
Yes.
All right.
This is international news right here. No.
Greenland?
Yes. We are honored to have our brothers and sisters from the great states of Iowa and Nebraska coming to our fold.
Oh, nice.
I know our listeners know that we've had half of Iowa's millwrights and three counties of Iowa's carpenters. So there's already a connection there, but now we've got the rest of the state.
Got it.
And all of Nebraska. Obviously, there's a decent amount of work in Omaha and Lincoln area.
And you guys are going to go out and organize.
We're going to go out and organize. Mm-hmm. And, boosted our numbers, another 3,000 some change. So, now we're just kind of expanding.
And then what happened with, Wisconsin, Minnesota went over to Michigan?
They're going to a newly named council called the Northern Midwest Regional Council.
Okay.
So that'll be, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and the Dakotas.
Look, I said this years ago when I first met you guys that I think what you're doing is important. It's different, and it's consolidation, right? So I don't have to pay rent on 47,000 different buildings,
right,
and all these properties and whatnot. And it's just consolidating power. It's a different model than a lot of other unions. Like in the operators, obviously, Ed, like we have what's called the North Central States, but it is just an amalgamation of unions.
Yes.
You guys, similar, but you're combining unions, you're merging unions, and you're simply consolidating.
Absolutely. Right? And kudos to my boss, Kevin McLaughlin, for helping orchestrate this, obviously. Yes, yes.
Phil will never miss an opportunity.
Pucker up, buttercup.
But also, I want to give a shout out to our organizer, director, and other one-time guest of the show, Jim McDonough, who said, "This is great news for little Timmy in Iowa." Oh, our new sheriff in town.
Yes.
Very good.
We got your back, little Timmy.
I like it.
Yes. Really get you that leg back.
We're going to make you a wooden leg.
We got to check in with little Timmy soon.
We do.
That's awesome. Well, that's good news, Phil. It's nice to hear some good news for a change. So, anyway, we got to go. We will be back next week. We have an interesting show next week. I'm not going to tell you the topic, but it certainly is timely. And and we appreciate all the support, once again, everybody. That's been quite the run. We're over 3 years now, right? It's crazy. So
a little engine that could.
Yeah, right? So keep up the good work out there, everybody, and we'll see you next week right here on The Workers' Mic, 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of The Workers' Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare. For additional information and podcasts of The Workers' Mic, visit WGNRadio.com.